All right, everyone, this is Gordon, W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. And this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net is run weekly for the purpose of having a conversation about amateur radio. Any topic, even vaguely related to amateur radio, electronics, computers, telecommunication, things in our society that use those things, the natural phenomena that support it, the scientific aspects as well, and just plain, what do we do with this stuff? What do we do? That's all fair game. So you can pretty much talk about anything you want if you can tie it in. Before we proceed with the check-ins, are there any stations with emergency or priority traffic? Please call W2GTT. Okie dokie. Well, that makes that easy, doesn't it? All right, well, good evening again, everyone. This is W2, Tango, Tango, Tango. And tonight, we'll have a variety of interesting topics, but we're going to start with the ones that you bring to the table. So with that in mind, let's get started. Stations whose call signs begin with whiskey should call in with their call sign, their name, and indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. This is W2TTT. Over.
This is W2JEK. Don, no questions or comments.
Hey, Mr. Don, good evening to you. And any other whiskeys?
W2NPR. No questions, no comments. Yet.
W2NPR, just for the record, your name?
I'm sorry, handle here is Hector.
Hector, just, I know, but it doesn't help other people. We use this as a smooth way to make sure people learn each other's names. That's the reason for my being no G. All right, very good. Any other whiskeys?
WB2UOD. The name is George, and I have a question later about something on a PC.
Very good. George, where are you located? Just curiosity.
Norwood, New Jersey.
Very fine. Alrighty. Well, welcome aboard. Alright, so we have a question. That's a PC-related question. That makes it even more interesting. Alrighty, any other whiskeys?
W2CH, Ray in White Plains. Good evening, Gordon and Annette. I do have a question.
Excellent, Ray. Good evening to you. Any other whiskeys? Alrighty. How about Kilo 2s?
Good evening, Gordon. This is KC2NKU, Maryland in White Plains. No questions, no comments. Good evening, everybody.
Okie dokie. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome aboard. Any other kilos?
A2EIR. I should add with a question.
And your name is?
And I'm sorry, my name is Howie.
I'm in full busting chops mode here tonight, guys, so this is going to be lovely. Alrighty. Any other kilos? Thank you, Howie.
K2AMI, Tony, or Antonio. No questions, no comments. Well, comment about the self-exam test. That's all.
Antonio, buenas tardes. Okay, very good. All right. K2AMI, W2TTT. Any other kilos?
KC2, UNH, Mobile, Paul, no questions, no comment.
Good evening, Paul, KC2, UNH, K2BAR, should probably do that occasionally too. All right, very good. Any other stations with Kilo?
KC2, ZMA, Marco, with a question or discussion about the D-Star.
Excellent, Marco. All righty. Any other Kilos? let's go to the Novembers.
November 1, STU, Stewart. No questions, no comments, Gordon.
N2, OEL, two questions. One on LEDs and one on antennas.
Okie dokie. Good evening, Stuart. N1 STU. Good evening to you. And good evening, Noel. N2 OEL. With, you had questions and comments? Is that right, Noel?
I have two questions.
Very, very good. By the way, Marco, if you've had trouble getting into my D-Star hotspot, Microsoft whacked my machine today, and I just brought it back up, so you might try it again. You might find it more suitable. Alrighty. Any other Novembers? Alrighty. And how about Alpha stations? Okay, well, nothing heard from the Alpha department. Any other stations, like check-ins, etc., please call K2BAR, W2TTT. Or not. Alrighty, well then, let's get started here. K2AMI, I'm going to throw it to you first. I suspect you have a few things to say about the weekend. I know I will be at the Hamfest, so maybe you want to say something about that, and God knows whatever else. K2AMI, K2BAR, W2TTT.
Well, I guess information is available on the Sussex County or the Amateur Radio Club's Hamfest, but in general there is a Hamfest up at the Sussex County Fairgrounds in Augusta, New Jersey, probably about 30 miles from here, and it starts with the vendors arriving at 7 and the doors open at 8 for sellers, although I think you can get them before that if you had to, and it's an open field with the majority of the Hamfest, and there's a closed barn-like atmosphere that's available for inside vending with tables. Admission, I think, is $7. I'm not too sure. But I know tables are $20 if you have to rent a table. If you're going to go there and be a vendor, you don't have to rent a table, but there is a vendor's charge, which I'm not sure of either. The biggest feature of the Hamfest is they have an outdoor grill, and they make up some very nice breakfast and hamburgers for lunch, hot dogs and so forth. A very nice social atmosphere, plenty of vendors, both commercial as well as individual tailgaters. I find it an enjoyable Hamfest to attend. Any other comments you can fill in there, Gordon? Back to Ned.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll be real honest. This is my absolute favorite Hamfest of the year. Some of the vendors show up the night before and kibitz around. I know I have two tables indoors, so I'm going to be there. So if anyone has stuff they just want to throw on a table or they want to share a table, I probably will have some spare space for that if people need. I don't know if I'm going up with anybody, but I'm probably going to show up around midnight, as is my custom, set up my stuff and crash for a few hours, and then up in the morning we go, and it's just a delightful time, it really is. Alrighty, with that in mind, anybody else have any thoughts about the Sussex Hamfest? And by the way, their egg sandwiches are just awesome. Barras are getting close, but they're just awesome.
And can I have an address on this place?
I believe if you just Google the Sussex County Fairgrounds, you will find it. But I can tell you that if you go to the intersection of, New Jersey 94 and US 206, and at that point 206 makes a turn, or if you're coming up 94, you just continue straight for another mile. There are signs on your right after the bank, basically. There'll be signs for the fairgrounds. You just take that first road. I forget what the road's called, but it's just, I would just Google Sussex County Fairgrounds, and you'll find it.
Leon?
Yep.
Antonio?
I've been told.
Go ahead, Tony.
I have the flyer in front of me, and for the, if you want to put it into your whatever it is that you use to try to get out there, it's 37 Plains Road, P-L-A-I-N-S, Plains Road, Augusta, H-E-U-S-T-A, Augusta, New Jersey, 07822.
Even better, thank you very much.
Augusta, New Jersey, 07822?
07822.
Very good. All right, very good. I wrote that down, too. 37 Plains Road, Augusta, New Jersey. ZIP is 07822. All right, well, thank you, Tony. It's just a marvelous campus. You know, KGI will be there, and I believe it's the one campus in the year that the Advanced Specialties does, but a lot of other people do, too. So that's really, really exciting. I know I will have a stack of flyers for our campus in August and be distributing rather liberally. Ours is indoors and air-conditioned for the benefit of our scouts. What else do we have here? Just see if there's anybody else with any questions on this topic. Let's do that. Anybody else?
KC2, you're on here.
Go ahead, Paul.
KC2, UNH. I just had a quick question. What time do people start selling? Because I'm sort of stuck where I actually have to work at 9 o'clock. Now, I can work in the car, but if people start selling around 6, or if there's stuff there available at 6, they're going to actually start trying to pick something up.
Yeah, absolutely. What you do is come in early, and there are vendors who are peddling things at 5 and 6 in the morning. Don't kid yourself. And so if you have a job that you can take portable, as it were, you can saunter over your car at 9 o'clock and commence work, and you'll have no trouble doing that. But sellers are in full blown selling mode, despite what they tell you, at 7 a.m.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, well, worst case is get there, you know, post midnight sometime, and come into the building, and there's usually a small contingent of us who are awake and alive, and, you know, in varying levels enthusiastic. that's key.
KC2ZMA, what comment?
Go ahead, Marco.
If you go to the barra.org website, the Barra website, barra.org, there is a link there that says Sussex Hamfest and gives you all information. Right on the front page, as soon as you get there. Just got to scroll a little bit down. It says Sussex Hamfest. Click here for info, and it brings you right to the website, sussexhamfest.org. And it gives you all information on... actually gives you everything on that. It gives you everything here, actually. All the information you actually need. Back to Net Control. This is KC2ZMA.
Yeah, KC2ZMA, W2TTT. Very good. Yeah, I think that's good advice and entirely appropriate. And I'm glad, actually, Barrett's what I'll call non-competitive hamfest on their website. I think that's a good thing. You know, one that
well, maybe when you're stupid. You know, certainly not before, or immediately before. So it's kind of nice that we do that. And Sussex is something that everybody in the club enjoys, and so it makes sense to the club to put that on their website, just to flag it a little bit. And Marco, I am actually listening on 145.42 in D-Star mode, and I'm on the third floor of my house, so I might actually hear you on this rubber dock, but my hotspot is off.
Oh, very good there, Gordon. Yeah, I think I'm actually connected to your repeater. It says connected, I think it says reflector 20. I think it said A or so, but I heard you. I saw your call in there, too. Well, maybe we could try it after the net or something like that. That'd be great. Back to net. This is KC2VMA.
If I'm not transmitting, go ahead and make a transmission when you get a chance, but as long as I'm not transmitting here on the repeater. Go ahead and try my hotspot, because I'm probably going to desense my hotspot if I'm transmitting here. But anyway, alrighty. Any other issues regarding this or other Hamfest? Keep in mind the next Barra Hamfest is in October, and the next Venture Cruise 7373 is the second Saturday of August in Bergenfield. And it's indoors and it's air conditioned and it's easy access. And we have a great kitchen now. And we're going to have tech forums. That's the other thing we're going to be doing. So I don't know if we're going to be doing testing, but we certainly will be doing tech forums. If there's interest in testing, we can talk about that. Alrighty. So with that in mind, let's go to the next subject. WB2UOD, George, your question, sir. T2BARW2TTT.
All right, thanks a lot, Gordon. I currently have Vista on my PC. And I have a lot of problems with it, and I would like to upgrade it. I would like to go up to Windows 7. Now, I'm not sure what to do. Do I buy an upgrade? Do I have to get rid of... I don't want to get rid of everything on my PC. That's my problem. Got a lot of things on there I want to save. Can I just upgrade Vista to a Windows 7, or is there a much more complicated thing than that?
No, actually... The one benefit of being a Vista user is that you can easily upgrade to Windows 7. I'm not saying it's going to be seamless, but if you've got things to work in Vista, chances are your Windows 7 stuff is going to be just fine. So, yes, you can buy an upgrade package if you want. That will save you some dollars. Some people like to do that. The other is you can buy a fresh install, but still install it as an upgrade. You have choices there. Either way.
Okay, Gordon, if I buy an upgrade, what you're saying, I can just buy an upgrade and then seamlessly upgrade Vista to Windows 7 and have no problems? Or is I don't know how difficult it is.
You asked two questions. Can you seamlessly install or easily install or upgrade, I should say, to Windows 7 from Vista? Yes, that is in fact the path. If you have XP, it's actually harder. However, I can't guarantee that everything is going to work. I don't know what it does to your installed application base. In other words, I don't know if it's smart enough to take the registry and pick it up and kind of move it to that new platform. Or you have to reinstall your apps? That's a really good question. I think it's the former, but I would poke around and look at that and see what's in the news.
And who are you?
Being of someone who might have done that.
Yeah, I bought my HP with Vista, and they gave me a free upgrade at the time, and it just zips right in. No big deal. Later on, what I had done is I restored my Vista, put a new copy of 7 in and dual booted, but that doesn't mean that the original installation was bad. It's just I preferred it, I wanted a clean installation of 7. It'll take everything. well, this is very close to Windows 7, so everything just goes right over. And 2OL.
2OL, this is WP2UOD. That sounds good. I had been up to Best Buy, and I was asking them about upgrading the Vista to Windows 7, and I got the impression the guy didn't know what the heck he was talking about, so that's one of the reasons why I came to you guys to ask. But I do have a lot of things that I know, I would guess 95% of the stuff that I have would work. I do know that there are some old programs I have that don't work. I just wanted to make sure that it was reasonable to just upgrade Vista without any big problems. Thank you guys for your help.
WP2NPR.
Go ahead, Hector.
Well, the other thing you can do with that computer upgrade, if you don't want to attempt it yourself, Micro Center in Patterson on Route 20, they have a very good computer support desk there in the front. And you don't necessarily have to have purchased your computer there for them to do anything to it. So if you wanted them to do it for you or anything like that, just bring it over to them. Tell them what you want to do. They'll tell you the best solutions, and if you don't want to do the work, they'll do it for you for a nominal fee, of course. But they are... I think they're the only game in town as far as computer stores go. The big box stores like Best Buy, it's hit or miss if you're going to get somebody who actually knows computers intimately as well as somebody who works in a store where it's the primary crux of their business is computers.
KC2VMA.
Marco, go.
This is KC2VMA here. If you do an upgrade, strongly recommend backing up your important, like, let's say, family photos you found on a PC or videos or anything that you want saved. I strongly recommend backing that up. If you do install it yourself, like onto a flash card or burn the CD or so, I would strongly recommend that because I've lost quite a few things. Do an upgrade, so. But I mean, like Noel said, it might. It goes flawless, yeah. But if you don't want to lose something really important, strongly recommend backing up pictures with USB drive, flash cards, or anything like that. Back to that. This is KC2VMA.
That is WP3UOD. Thanks a lot. But I do back up my stuff every month. I back the entire PC up every month. So I got the stuff backed up. And what was that address on I forget what Rudy told me, where that PC place was?
I don't have an exact address, but what town do you live in?
Micro Center. It's in Patterson. It's on Route 20, north of Route 80 and south of Route 4.
Yeah, right next to the Lowe's there. There's a Lowe's and the Micro Center share the same parking lot.
Yeah, that's okay.
Welcome aboard, Jim. Go ahead and say something.
I will confirm or repeat the suggestion to backup. Ideally file-by-file backup of any of your... your documents that you might want to restore at some point. Lowe's / Micro Center is on the northbound side. Get on from Route 80, and it's you swing around, follow Route 20 like a dog, and almost immediately after you cross under the railroad tracks, it'll be right there. It's not very far at all once you get on at Route 80.
N1STU.
Go ahead, Stuart.
Micro Center, 263 McLean Boulevard in Patterson. Phone number is 973-653-6000. 2187.
WB2UOD. Thanks a lot. I got all that info, and I want to thank you guys very much. It sounds like I shouldn't have any problems, but I'll come back next week and let you know.
KC2U, on it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want small one on the backup. What I tend to do on these, especially with the older machines, is actually just go out and buy the same disk that's in it, and then just put it in and actually duplicate the disk, and then just store that away. So if the upgrade actually messes up to that point, you just slam the old disk back in and start again.
I do that. I have one of those USB interfaces to do that, so that you just clone the image of the hard drive. And in fact, if you want, one of the things you can do is use that as an upgrade path too, so you can take your old disk and ultimately pull it out and back it up to a larger disk, and like using an AppleCore interface or one of these other USB to, you know, what do you call it, serial, well, whatever, I can't think of what the acronym is, but anyway, serial ATA. So you take that, and then you put the new drive in. It's got the same form factor, and away you go. Then you back that up, like you were saying, with get another new drive the next month. You're all good, and you can always have the old image around if you need it. I'm going to make one other comment, and that is that it's a good thing to back up your data, your application data, your those kinds of files that you need, as well as backing up an image copy of your system so that you don't have to reinstall all the applications. That's a nuisance. Anybody else?
State CVIR.
Mr. Howie.
So what's everyone's favorite backup program? My youth group recommends Acronis.
It's a good program. I tend to be a bit of a Luddite, and as I just described, I use the AppleCore software just to back up a whole image of the disk and be done with it. And then I just simply do normal copies of application data as I see fit, by using just the copy and paste to a directory. I'm really kind of boring that way. So I do backup copies of the application data, you know, a couple times a week, and then I do image copies of the entire disk, you know, every month or two.
Very good. I'd be interested in other opinions. Hope that doesn't offend you. K2EIR.
Oh, I'm kind of curious if anyone else has any thoughts.
KC2UN Hitch. I'm an old Norton Ghost person.
WB2UOD.
UOD.
Yeah, I use GenieSoft, and I have that on my regular PC, which I want to put a Windows 7 on. I also use it on my laptop, which does have Windows 7 right now.
Hey, very good. I'm just kind of curious. George, how do you feel about Windows 7 now that you're using it?
The WB2UOD. I had, so far, no problems at all with Windows 7. But as I said, I use that on my laptop, which I don't use that as often as I do on my regular PC. I have a lot of problems with this, so that's one of the reasons why I want to get rid of it. But so far, I have no complaints about Windows 7.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, there's your question. Mr. George, anything else?
No, thank you, and I thank you very much, and I'll be listening to the rest of your transmissions here.
Yeah, feel free to kibitz on another topic yourself. That's fine. God knows people have that. Before we go further, I just want to do two things here. One, NS2K, Jim. Do you have any things you're going to want to add to the NetSci, either comments or questions?
Yeah, NS2K. Yeah, obviously, real good response to that last one. Yeah, very good.
One other little thing. There's a second event on August 11th. August 11th, that's Saturday. There is an Ironman race that involves Palisade Parkway up, I don't know, well past the New York line. A lot of activity down near Tenafly and across the bridge down in that way, as well as, of course, on the New York side. Now, normally on these things, I end up having to volunteer to go into the city, and I'm going to try to avoid that. But I'm sure Tom Raffaelli is organizing this thing in Steve's absence. And I'm sure he would like to have some more help from this side of the river. I haven't actually asked him, but I would expect that would be true. If anybody wants to contact him, it's Tom Raffaelli, WB2NHC, November Henry Charlie, at optonline.net. And he did a great job at triathlon here last weekend. Had a good one. But here's an opportunity to do a good volunteer thing on this side of the river, NS2K.
Yeah, that does bring up an interesting question, doesn't it? And then the following week on Sunday, so that would be the 19th, is the Ramapo Rally. And we are looking for volunteers for that. I'm wondering whether or not let's talk about the Ironman, because and what the time requirements are for that, because maybe we can make some adjustments to our HempFest program accordingly. That does raise a really interesting question, because that's not a normal event in the calendar. It just happens that this year it's in New York and New Jersey. So I did notice that Gidget Petrie, Detective Gidget Petrie, told us that the CERT is no longer supporting that event for whatever reason. I don't know if Racy's is, Racy's Operator Corps, if you will. However, I think, to your point, Tom's going to need some volunteers. And if that is the same day, then I think we're going to be in a need. It was my understanding that that was in July, but I think people are confusing the triathlon with the Ironman triathlon. So I think there's been some miscommunication along that line. But we can talk offline on that. Get me some information about what the timeline requirements are for various events in New Jersey in particular. I think we'd go from there with our planning. Anybody else? Boy, am I hearing all sorts of stuff here on 955 tonight. Another tropo night on 2 meters. We'll talk about that in a bit. Okay, are there any other check-ins before we move down the list of what we have? Righty, well, let's move on then. Let's see, we did George. Ray, your question, W2CH, K2BARW2TTT.
Yes, Gordon, K2BAR with W2TTT, W2CH. It's really a minor one, but last week when I was on the net with Noel and I got a Kindle Fire here, first time I've had a tablet, although I have many other devices, a few weeks ago, I was looking for amateur radio apps and found some, as he mentioned, and have installed them and for scanning and so on. There's one called Repeater by ZBM2 Software, which was free. Now, it's Marta Lynch and Sons, which is in England, and I just thought I solved it, that it does not work in the United States. It's for Europe, Australia, maybe some UK countries, and I saw the comments, too. But, of course, there are many other apps. Not too many here yet for this Android-type platform for amateur radio, but the The one tune-in radio is very interesting, and also the Scanner Radio Pro, you know, some are free, some are 99 cents, you know, how apps work there. But I just thought I'd mention that one if anyone's looking at it. Even though it's free, it won't work in the U.S. So that's just kind of my question and answer there about that, or if it raises anything else, Gordon. K2VAR and the net W2CH.
Okay, very good. Real quick, Ray, what was the name of that app for Android that doesn't work in the States but works in what I'll call British Commonwealth countries?
Well, it's called Repeater, which is pretty straightforward. It's on the Amazon store, and it will say Martin Lynch and Sons. And what it does when that's a British manufacturer that's in Surrey outside London, I get Radcom as a member of RSGP, so I'm familiar with some of the companies over there. And so it's helpful there, won't do anything wrong, doesn't cost anything, but it'll come up when you've installed it and say, enable GPS, Wi-Fi, or 3G. I guess it's looking for databases, and there's sample photos which will greatly show you the repeaters, say, in the UK. But again, as I said, that's the story on that one for use in the U.S. And there were four comments, and they all basically revolved about that. One did say no use here.
Well, you know, I did have such a program on my Android. I don't know if it was that same one. And after a little bit of a hardware glitch, I had to replace my phone. It wasn't properly backed up, and that's one app that I don't have anymore. But I used to be able to enter an application where you would simply drive up the highway, give it a distance, tell it which bands you want, and it would throw you a list of repeaters. You could theoretically even download them to your radio, but anyway, we shall see. Anyway. Alrighty, that's good to know. Anybody else have any thoughts about amateur radio repeater directory type programs for the Android? Well, I guess not, but I can tell you that we're I think that'll make good sense anyway to keep that in mind. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. I will try to dig up what that program was that I used to have and endeavor to reinstall it on my Android phone as well. I do have Echolink for it, etc. Ultimately, I'm looking forward to having Linux on my HP tablet instead of the web OS. But there's an open software group that's working on that, but they just haven't gotten the Linux to work quite fully yet with all the device drivers. Most of them, yes, all of them now. Anyway, I don't know if anyone has any more comments about this. Well, let's go now.
W2CH, one more comment.
Sure, hey, go right ahead.
Yeah, I tried to go to the Echolink one that I found, but it says it's not compatible with the Kindle Fire.
Oh, that's interesting. Or why that is.
Says, you know, like a warning when you bring it up and you want to install it, and says may affect your device with an X in red instead of the check mark. So I don't know if it's just that version of it or just my device.
You know what, I would start going around on websites looking for explanations as to why that is and if it's anything to worry about.
Yes, okay, I just thought I'd add that too when you said Echolink. Somebody was going to bring up D-Star. I was just going to say, just jumping to that for a second, I think now Weka has their gateway going. I was listening tonight, but I just thought I'd throw that in if it comes up later.
Well, that would certainly be nice, wouldn't it? They've had their repeater up for a while, but it hasn't been attached to the internet. So all sorts of discussions about having, you know, repeaters tied to the internet, but I'd like to see more repeaters tied together by RF data links and go from there, but that's just me. Anyway, like for instance, if we had a D-Star repeater co-located with this one at Chestnut Ridge, there really is no reason why we couldn't have a full duplex high-speed data link between the Weka repeater and ours, and therefore provide routing capabilities over the air should one of the sites lose its wireline internet. So, for instance, we could start adding those again. For those of us who've done packet radio in this region before, we used to do half duplex links on a variety of other frequencies, not just 2 meters, but 222, 219, 420 megahertz, 430, and 440 megahertz, all sorts of things, 1200 as well, and even if you want 6 meters. Yawn. It's been a long day. Alrighty. We'll get to more D-Star in a minute. Well, why don't we just go to that now? KC2CMA, your question, sir. K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KC2CMA. Let's see. Dick Gordon, I'll ask a question about, let's see. These ideas of the three or the four links you have to put into the radio itself. Like you have the UR, it's put as CQ, CQ, CQ. You have the mic call. I'm assuming the mic call transmits when you're linked to a repeater or reflector or hotspot. And RPD1 and 2, I'm assuming those are repeaters, so repeater 1, repeater 2. Can you go through, I guess, I didn't read too much on it, but I'll ask a question of those. Like, for example, you have an FM repeater, analog, and a tone squelch. Is your call a tone squelch for a D-Star repeater or reflector or all that? And because actually I'm linked to yours. I'm linked to your hotspot there. It says connected reflector 20 alpha. It says connecting reflector 20 alpha. So I can hit your hotspot, no problem, I suppose. Maybe do a QPUSO later on. But it doesn't seem like there's no tone squelch in the D-Star mode or digital voice mode. I guess my question is, what exactly are all those settings? The UR, the my call, RPT1, and 2. Back to that.
Okay, so here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to key up your D-Star radio on 4542 and make a transmission, and I'll explain what just happened to everybody.
Okay, stand by.
Okay, so what Marco just did, he transmitted at 145.42, which happens to be the input and output frequency of my hotspot. My hotspot processed his packet, sent it on through the internet to an internet reflector that's labeled 20 alpha, and then that's just a number. Alpha stands for 2 meters, 20 is just a sequence number of the reflector. There's a series of reflectors all around the world, and the different systems tie to different reflectors as they see fit. In any case, the 20 alpha is actually not just 2 meters. It has all sorts of things, but it's got repeaters in South Jersey, Philadelphia, Maryland, up through the Hudson Valley and New Jersey, and then all the way up to the Hudson Valley through to Montreal. There's a couple of sites in Montreal that are on the system. So when Marco transmits, he's heard in all those places simultaneously. Similarly, if I transmit on 145.42, it will come out as well. noticing that there's a signal, a very strong signal there, as we speak. But anyway, bottom line is that I have a hotspot here. Carl, W2KBF, has one in Farallon, 14568. This stuff, to answer your question, does not have tone. It's using either the combination of your pre-registered call sign and also, you know, what you're putting in the UR field, which is like the who you're talking to. And in this case, it's set up for CQ, 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 which means I'll talk to anybody. And every transmission goes out that way. You're not physically connected to that site. What you're seeing coming back is that my site is connected to the internet at Reflector 20 Alpha.
Okay, then, because KT2ZMA here. I mean, if you really wanted to call somebody directly, you would substitute CQ, CQ, CQ to somebody's call. But then again, it's not really private call. You're actually... It's all open protocol anyway. So your call is actually being registered into the gateway, and that's how you're getting through. If your call wasn't registered to the gateway, nothing would happen, basically.
Yeah, in the case of a hotspot, nothing would happen. If it was a local repeater, the repeater probably would repeat you locally.
Okay, then the local repeater will basically just repeat out itself instead of going through the gateway. And that's right, then you don't need to be registered. I mean, they say they recommend it to be registered if you're going through the internet. But if you're not registered and you're using a repeater, you don't need to be registered. I think that's correct, right, Ray Square Gordon?
Correct, and not only that, but you could also, if I could hear you on my HT, which I can't right now, we could have a direct conversation between our two radios, and that'd be fine. Alrighty. D-Star, by the way, just for reference, is a digital mode. It does have a routing capability. There are a couple of different, there's the Pure ICOM D-Star, and then there's a few other D-Star knockoff protocols. The channel protocol is the same, but some of them have different mechanisms for routing your data or your, if you will, your voice around. The other thing is the voice, digital voice, also has some capabilities for embedding data in every transmission. You don't even have to identify to use a D-Star radio because your call sign's already been embedded in your radio when you configure it, and so theoretically, you can just get on the air and just start talking, and it is kind of unnerving, but anyway, it's all very, very good. But anybody have any questions about D-Star? Alrighty, well, Marco, anything more from you?
Just one more quick question there, Gordon. Let's see. The frequency you have, 145.420. Do you have to get that accepted from a frequency coordinator? Because it seems like if you transmit on DV mode, you don't hear it on another radio if it's analog. But if you switch it to FM, you hear it on another one. So it seems like you can't, if you're transmitting, you cannot actually hear. I think I'm asking two questions, actually. Sorry about that. But if you're transmitting, you can actually hear the transmission on a regular FM radio.
Okay, that's right. You can note it on an FM or a sideband or even an AM radio. A couple of things. Number one, D-Star is actually narrower bandwidth than typical narrowband FM, which we use, not the ultra-narrowband stuff, but doing the really narrow stuff that you're starting to see now with the 2.5 KC splitters and stuff like that. As a practical matter, no, this is not coordinated. No, MetroCore won't coordinate it anyway. I was thoughtful about selection of the frequency.
and the repeaters that are above and below me are not, their users are not hearing this, and nor would they probably even hear the users on the input. The narrowness of D star is such it'll probably not cause the adjacent FM repeaters any grief. Even if I was operating split, right now I'm operating a single frequency, so I have a duplexer and a second radio. So I'm running it purely as a half duplex hotspot, but you know, with the addition of a duplexer and some cans, I mean, and some filters and some receivers, I think it'll be just fine. In any case, one other advantage is that because it's narrower band than FM, it also has a tendency to go farther. But when it finally fails, it fails hard. The digital really does fail hard. But you can, generally speaking, have QSOs over a greater distance with D-Star than you can with FM. That much I can assure you.
W2CA.
Good, Ray.
Yes, I just thought I'd point out, got the other station, there's a hotspot field from W2LGB. I forget the frequency I programmed it in. I'm using my D-Star rig right now, the 880H, and I use the RT systems. And once you register with a gateway, like I did through Norwalk, you're good everywhere, and then you can use the D-Star calculator to even link up to other systems and, you know, to other parts of the world through where there is D-Star. And also, like you say, when the reflector is on, those link. I think he has a net on the 20 reflector, 20A, at 7:30 on Tuesdays. And he has about a 10-mile radius, probably something like you have, Gordon. And then there's talk about, I don't know, using frequency. 445, 475 is WG2MSK in Brooklyn, which I know is back, at least is on again, or didn't get to it before, but 445, 475 is also a local repeater in Yonkers, but you can tell when the digital is on, if you're on analog, you hear that sound. And then K2DIG, I believe Manhattan has been off for over a week back to net.
Yep, they are. Once again, off the air. K2DIG is an interesting system. It's really kind of a shame because it would be a little, if they could get their technical issues squared away all at the same time, it would be just an unbelievable opportunity space for a station. Anyway, let's see. Are there anybody else who have any comments about this? Let me throw something out here. If you go to nj2dg.org, and November Juliet 2 deltagolf.org, I think you'll find that there's quite a bit of D-Star information, including some regional maps, and you can get you can start you know, taking out more information, because there's you know, all sorts of really, really good D-Star sites coming online all over the place. So I encourage people to give it a try and really enjoy it. I actually have a data cable, and I want to try D-RATS, the messaging software that uses the data capability of voice mode, and not the separate data mode, you know, for that. And, it's slow speed, but you know what, it works. Alrighty, anybody else before we move on? Alrighty, I just want to point out the June QS, pardon me, the June CQ magazine is chock full with some interesting exercises. A lot of portable operation stuff. There's a thing called HamStack, which is a variant on the Arduino microcontroller using the same processor, but the board is more geared toward amateur radio. The downside of that is that it's not compatible with all the other non-ham stack accessories, so that's a bit of a downer. But it also has one of those lovely air launchers featured on page 69, complete with the fishing reel and everything else. Anyway. Alrighty. Let's see. I think our next question comes from Mr. Noel. Noel, you have two questions. K2BAR.
Okay, question number one. I happened to be in Harbor Freight the other day, and for $9.99 they had a solar rope light. If anybody wants to look it up on the internet, item number 68353. It's got 50 long life LED lamps, and it's solar powered. Claims it runs up to 8 hours on a full charge. Now, I have a fondness for LED lights. If anybody remembers our VHF contest, and also at the field day, I had a couple, actually I had five LED antennas on the cook tent. So this thing intrigued me, and I grabbed it for $9.99 plus tax. Anyways, look at it as far as I can see. Unlike the 120-volt ones, this one appears to have all 50 bulbs in parallel. They may, of course, have matching resistors inside that I can't see, but I see no resistors or diodes inside the plastic tubing. Again, unlike the 120-volt ones that I have. And it both can be operated with a switch. Right now it's an off. Flip it one way, it's steady. Flip it the other way, and it flashes. On, off, on, off, all 50 at the same time. So there was a discussion I had with our friend Ben yesterday on the Baronet, and the question is, I came up with the statement, well, since it's a white LEDs, it must have a DC to DC converter, because I haven't heard of any white LEDs that run on one or two NiCad batteries. So the question is, what do you think? Want to take a guess how it works?
No, I would allow others to have that privilege. Or I guess not. Go ahead.
So, I'm going to bring it. By the way, I'm getting interference from Vernon, Connecticut. I'm going to bring it to the club meeting tomorrow at Fairlawn, and we'll take it apart and see what's in there. I told Ben he could do it. Are you ready for the next question?
Yeah, I'd just like you to repeat that part number one more time.
Sure. It's Harbor Freight. It's 68353.
Comes right up. There's actually a PDF file for it, for the manual, and I have just pulled it open, solar rope light, interesting, no picture in that, oh yes, there is a picture, yeah, I don't know what to tell you from the manual, that's for sure, dear me, well, if you can't figure it out, the bottom of the page says, for technical questions, please call. So you can add, you can probably call up and ask them that question. That might be entertaining.
Well, I'm not going to call some guy in China. And when you call these people, normally you won't get a technical answer. They'll tell you to turn the switch on, turn the switch off. If it doesn't work, return it. But I was just dying of curiosity how they managed to get 50 LEDs to run, and it can't have more than one or two NiCads. There's just not room for it, and the solar cell's not that big either. Not much bigger than the ones that are on the crappy little lawn lights. And I'm just amazed that they got it to work last way. So I'll bring it to... Fairlawn tomorrow if anybody's interested. Are you
you ready for the next question?
We should just point out, they're white LEDs. The rope is 22 feet long and features 50 LEDs. That's quite a bit of light in a spot. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, that's what I was interesting. Okay. I'm still thinking of putting an antenna on the motorhome, trying to figure out how to do something efficient. I was looking at the Tactenna, or Tectenna, which is basically two, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing the guy's name right, Petalowy, Bill Petalowy, K6NO, coils are on the ends. But doing some research on the internet, I noticed that people are doing the same idea, except making the distance between the two coils much, much larger. And one guy took a vertical and took one of those coils and put it on a plastic, you know, like chair outside and used that as his ground plane. I was wondering if anybody had any thoughts or have anybody tried these? I should think if you're going to use a coil like that as the other half of vertical, you're going to be down 3 dB, but hey, what the heck? If you're doing portable, it will work. Back to that. This is Antolio.
It is interesting. Anybody have any comments for Noel?
K2EIR.
Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, a lot of these antennas are really radiating from the feed lines. And that works. You know, I went out portable with a pair of hamsticks on 40 meters several months ago and put it up about 20 feet. And we made contacts one after another, S9, but I didn't have a ballon in there. So I just kind of figured my feed line was radiating. Yeah, I don't promise you that's how the Tactenna works. I've seen it on the internet. I don't subscribe to the Antenna X site, the CVIC site, or anything. They probably had a write-up on that at one point. But I did have some thoughts that, well, it is a kind of a form of linear loading, so to that extent it might work. But again, you have to be careful that it isn't the feed line that's doing your radiating. K2EIR.
Yep, I think that's a worthwhile and thoughtful concept. I think there are a lot of people who have radiating feed lines, and that just seems to be the way it is. Anyway, anybody else have anything? I'll just think about this. G5RV. Depending on the band, the G5RV has either got all the open wire or some of the open wire or none of the open wire radiating. And there are other antennas that do that too. All right, any more for the net tonight?
Hey, 2EIR, I did register a question, but maybe you didn't hear it.
I'm sorry, Howie, I'm brain dead.
Okay, do you want to hear it? Okay, that sounded like a yes, so I hope I'm right. I noticed that the July QST had an article on a software-defined radio adapter for, actually I think they make it for 47 radios, but in particular he was saying the ASU 817 and the 857 made 97. And I haven't made time, it isn't a priority. I don't know what I'm doing here on the net, but maybe it's just tiredness at the end of the day. The converter does, you know, it goes in at the IF of the rig, and it looks relatively simple to attach and lead the cable out of the rig. And presumably will give you some, and it has its own software-defined radio features, software, so that I don't know if it would work with other SDR software. So it would give you some of the SDR features, and I'm not clear what it would give you and what it doesn't and whether it's worth doing. And I wonder if anyone else studied this, looked at it, and what their reactions are, you know, that they were just simply not interested, or they looked at it and said, I see defects, or they looked at it and said, yeah, I might try that. So I'm just curious, since we have technically interested people here, what others might think. K2EIR.
Yeah, K2EIR, WTTT. I have seen it. I didn't see that article. I've seen others and other things other people have done, and it is fantastic to do. Strongly recommend it. You know, trying to retrofit an older radio to have that kind of capability, why the heck not? Works really, really well. I'm going to transition to the car, guys, so we're going to continue the net, but I need to go pick up my son in Newark, so we're going to do this on the roll from here on out. So anybody have any comments about taking the IF and rolling it into...